You're joined by a guy whose number is hanging from the roof here at Citi Field, a guy you see on TV all the time, calling Met games, the legendary Keith Hernandez. Keith, thank you very much for coming on.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
So, simple question, but a complicated question. Are the New York Mets good?
Yeah, they're good. I always had faith in their offense. Baseball's a funny game. Any sport's quirky. It's amazing what J.D. Martinez did when he came and had the big homestand, got the big hits, and how that becomes contagious. Hitting becomes, and it kind of loosened the whole lineup up because they were collectively struggling, and they were tight. Let's face it. And it was a prolonged, extended team slump, and it's just incredible how one guy could say, grab the flag, here, follow me, and that was J.D. Martinez.
I also think it was Francisco Lindor. We talk about that closed-door meeting after the Jorge Lopez thing, and you know, it coincides. I don't believe in coincidence, so obviously it had some impact, but what impact do you think that had on this team?
Well, I can only speculate. I wasn't in there. Mm-hmm. I've never been a fan of team meetings. I've been in my share of team meetings. I've had the owner come down in St. Louis and chew us out, general managers. I've had player meetings. So they're all different. It depends on the group that you have. Right. And, you know, I only know what I read. And evidently, collectively, everybody cleared the air. And they've been playing great ever since. Yeah. So I agree with you. Something clicked after that.
Right. You just wonder how good players were so bad for so long.
Well,
you know,
there's an old saying, a team never looks as bad as it looks when it's playing terrible, and they're never as good as they look when they're playing great.
No, it's true. I mean, I'm actually telling that to Yankee fans recently because they've lost 7 out of 10. They think the sky is falling, and you're not this bad. You know, you're not as good as maybe you were to start the season. You're probably somewhere in the middle.
Well, they've got 50-plus wins, so you know, be happy with that. They're in first place, and their pitching has been great, and pitching's the name of the game. So you got Garrett Cole going tonight, and he's got his second start. That's a big boost for the Yankees. I always say I'd rather have a good pitching and have a mediocre hitting team as opposed to a big powerhouse offensive team and mediocre pitching.
So I have to ask you this question because my eyes are very different than yours, and you know what you're seeing, and I think I know what I'm seeing. I played first base in middle school. You played first base at the highest level possible. Pete Alonso defensively. I see a guy that's improved. I see a guy that's, like, maybe I'm nuts because the analytics don't agree with me, but again, what the hell do I know? That's like a slightly above average defensive first baseman. And yet I'm told by some Met fans, he's below average. I'm told by the analytics, he stinks. And I don't see that. You are the all-knowing of defensive first basemen. You have watched this guy for years. What is Pete Alonso defensively in your mind?
He's improved. He works hard at it, number one, and he wants to be a complete player. And he has improved enormously with his glove. And anything that he can get to, he's got good enough hands to get the job done. So I don't think that he is a negative at all defensively. And to me, he's an asset because you hit 40, 50 home runs a year. I'll take that.
Yeah. How do you think the Mets are going to value him as this season goes on and then obviously once he hits free agency?
Well, that's a big decision right there. It's going to be a lot of money that he's going to command a big salary, and I'm sure he'll go out on the market and shop. He's got Scott Boras as his agent, and I don't blame him. It's a one-time opportunity, and it only comes by so often, and every 6 years, as a matter of fact. So, if the team, it all depends on what the team does. All the speculation was when the team was playing so terribly, and now where are they now? They're close to getting over 500. We got a lot of season left. A lot of things could happen. But if they continue this romp right now, what they're going through and the way they're doing it with their offense, and Pete has a big year, which Pete is going to have a big year. You know, I don't want to see him leave.
I don't want to see him leave either. I mean, I as a Met fan, and we want the guy who's there for his entire career. And we haven't had a lot of that. We've acquired great players like you or Mike Piazza, and that's special. But having a guy spend his entire career with the same team, it doesn't seem like it happens very often with the New York
Mets.
Well,
I think it's also more okay, you let him leave, you let him walk, but then what? Well, like he's not replaceable that easily.
It's you don't find 40, 50 home runs and 100 RBIs growing on trees.
Right.
And they're hard to find those kind of people. I mean, I've always said he's the modern-day Harmon Killebrew.
Mm.
He's really the quintessential power hitter, right-hand power hitter.
Yeah.
And I think he's the big, best power hitter in the game. And you can, it's arguably, people can argue with me all they want. I watch him on an everyday basis. And I just think he's going to get better as he gets older. You know, mm-hmm. he doesn't have injury.
Right.
And that's the important thing.
Well, even when he does get hurt, he plays.
And the one thing about baseball, it's not, you know, when you have a number one draft pick in the NFL or the NBA, usually they pan out. There's a reason why they're number one.
Right.
In baseball, there's no guarantee.
Sure.
And, you know, a lot of trades have happened. Well, I've seen, you know, the Marlins have had young players, Yelich to Milwaukee. All those five players didn't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gamble you risk. You know, it's the risk that you take.
Now, you're very pro-Pete, which I love. Do you talk to David Stearns? Does he ask you advice? Because if he does, I feel very good he's going to be re-signed.
General managers don't hang around the field too often. No.
He doesn't say, Keith, you know a lot.
I ran into him, I forget what town we were in, and we had a conversation. But I haven't run into him of late. He's got enough on his plate to have to.
No, I understand. So. Which, we're talking to the great Keith Hernandez. What do you think has been the wrong with Jeff McNeil offensively? I'll be blunt about it, because he won a batting title a year and a half ago, and it's been a while of him being a completely different hitter. What is it in your eyes?
Well, I think it's probably, like Yogi said, 90% half mental. So I think it's in his head now. I think he's lost his confidence. I won't get into any particulars.
Right. How do you bring that back, though, Keith?
Success.
Right, so it's the chicken and the egg.
You know, he's...
It's impossible to diagnose it.
He's doing, you take extra BP. I know these guys hit a lot more than I did and our generation of players. So he's working on it, but BP is 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Game time 7.
No, you're right. What do you do? Do you run him out there every day if you're Mendy, or do you bench him and say, you know what, Jose Iglesias has been better, I'm going to play him? What do you do?
Well, Iglesias is a lifetime 280 hitter. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he's not bad.
And he's got a great glove.
Yeah.
I think they're probably going to stick with the platoon and give him every opportunity. And the fact that the team is playing better. Now, if the team was not playing well, then it might be it's a crisis situation. Then maybe they make a move and give Iglesias the job. But, you know, like... Mendoza said, we need him to win.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a batting champ, and we know we can hit. We did it for a couple years, and this is just inexplicable. But I do feel that he's lost his confidence, and that's big. If you go up there and you think you're not going to get it done, you're not going to get it done.
Right.
Yeah, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're probably right. That's the cliche how it goes. You mentioned David Stearns earlier. It feels like he came into this season, I'm evaluating, right? I'm looking to see what we have, what we're all about, and we believe we have enough talent to be a playoff team, but I'm evaluating. This hot streak has made it feel like, okay, forget the evaluation side of it. We can accomplish something. How has the mentality, do you think the mentality has changed with David Stearns at all? Meaning, they're going to be more aggressive or, who knows, at the trade deadline?
Well, you know, playing in the Northeast, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, like you said, the Yankees got over 50 wins. They've won 3 of their last 10, lost 7.
Right.
The sky's falling. The fan base is ready to have a heart attack. And you have to be above that. That's why he's getting paid to be the big bucks to make those decisions. And you can't evaluate a team on 1 month's work, and this was more than one month that they really they struggled. And there was a point where I didn't think that when are they going to come out of this?
Right.
I just kept waiting and waiting, when's it going to happen? And so patience is a virtue. And I do think his thought process now has changed. When he saw this team, he knew about this team from when he was over in Milwaukee, but he knew the personnel. But when it was playing so poorly, I'm sure he entertained a lot of ideas. You can always throw, okay, around the league. I got here. Pete Alonso's on the market. See what they come with.
Right.
You know. Take have a look at it, but doesn't mean you're going to make the deal.
Right. I hope you didn't watch the ninth inning of the Mets-Cubs game on Sunday night, because all I could think about was you. I thought about Edwin Diaz gets, you know, thrown out of the game. That takes 5 minutes. Then Drew Smith takes 15 minutes to warm up. Then Drew Smith thinks he's hurt. Everyone comes out. No, I'm fine. Then he gives up a hit, and then he's taken out of the game. That ninth inning took 27 minutes, and I could only imagine what you would have said if you were broadcasting that on SNY.
Well, I've toned it down a little bit. I would have sighed. I had a couple sighs.
That would have been some big sighs.
You know, we always, you know, when they have a pitcher, an injury, and a pitcher takes time to warm up, it always, you know, it takes a while. But the game is sped up.
Yes.
We're playing games that we remark, I can't tell you, maybe over a dozen games. Boy, 2 years ago, that would have been over 4 hours.
Yeah.
And it's under three.
Yes.
So the game is being played at the proper pace. It should be 2.5 hours, 2:45, and it's fun to watch.
Yes.
As opposed to, because there's a lot of dead time when it was a three-hour-plus game.
Yeah, it was the same amount of, like, I always look at it as, and I'm not that old, but when I was a young man, the game was 2 hours and 45 minutes because the players just worked quicker. And then, for something happened in the last 15 years, everybody takes their sweet time. So it was almost like bringing baseball back to when you played. To me growing up, like, hey, can we move this along?
I would think, though, it's the pitcher's throwing harder. You just need to recover.
You think that was it?
I don't know, that could have been it.
Sure. Or it's their ESPN moment.
Right.
Well, what the thing is, it lets you talk more, right? You get more airtime.
Well, and that's exhausting.
you don't get paid by the hour.
So Gary, Ron, and I, we're not complaining about it, because a lot of Gary's the pro up there.
Yeah.
And Gary is, I don't know, it's 4 hour games, 3:45. Gary would just sometimes say, you know, we didn't. It's exhausting. That's an extra hour we have to talk, and it is exhausting when it's almost every game.
Mm-hmm.
When you play, you know, Gary does 100, what, almost 50 games.
Does a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I only do 110. I got time to recoup.
That's right. We're talking to Keith Hernandez. What did you think of what happened with Edwin Diaz and the sticky stuff rules, and now the fact that he's out 10 games and the Mets are shorthanded now?
It's unfortunate. I don't know what to tell you. The umpires felt something sticky. Edwin's got something else to say about it, disagrees. The rules are the rules, and the Mets are going to have to live without a pitch. You know, be short a pitcher and short the closer.
It's very unfortunate. You think the rule gets clarified ever? Because it feels like it's arbitrary, and it's probably not. We're probably not giving the umpires enough credit for the training that they get and the tackiness versus the stickiness conversation, even though that sounds like the same word to me. But do you think there ever becomes more clarity on this?
I don't know. I just think that it's pretty clear that the umpires are looking for something that is sticky for the grip. And I will say this, and the ball is a lot slicker. Ron Darling has mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
And compared to, I never paid attention to the ball. I mean, they throw the balls out after it hits the ground.
Right.
You know, pitchers in our day used to want to keep that ball because
sure.
It roughed it up and they were able to manipulate a little bit. But Ronnie is, to me, the expert here because he pitched. And he said the ball is clearly slicker. It's harder to grip. And even Scherzer said that he told Buck last year that after he pitched, his thumb would be sore because he didn't have the grip he wanted that he was used to. Because he's the guy that went over the old ball, the new ball.
Mm-hmm.
He made the transition, and he felt the difference, and he had to grip the ball tighter, and he said his thumb, which is very interesting to me, that would be sore after he pitched.
That is strange. Subway, sir, has been around since 1997, so you missed it by a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
What were the Mayor's Trophy games like? Was there high intensity when you played the Yankees and games that didn't count?
It was fun, but it wasn't. It's not like what it is here. This is in season. This is all the games are important. It was fun to go to Yankee Stadium. I preferred to go because I was a Mickey Mantle fan.
Right.
So it was fun to play the Yankees there. Didn't pretty much. We played them at Shea. It didn't matter that much. To me, I would have rather kept away from all the fanfare of it. But
yeah.
That's not the intensity of regular season.
No. Was the fan interest, when you first started calling the Subway Series, I mean, it feels like it's only intensified.
Well, it was really big in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when it first came out, it was brand new. It was exciting. And it still is. And then we're going to fill it up tonight, and there's going to be Yankee fans in there and intermingle with Met fans.
Yes.
I mean, it's not going to be like in St. Louis in my day in the 70s when it was played the Cubs. It would be a lot of blue in a sea of red. There were always fistfights in the stands.
Right.
I don't see that here, at least not yet.
You know why? Because we're in the same city. Like, we're brothers and sisters. When it's St. Louis and Chicago, it's different cities. When it's New York and Philly, it's different cities. For us, it's like we hear it by talking to callers. There are husbands and wives that are just split.
Right.
There are just so much split families based on Yankees and Mets. So we all love each other. You know what I mean?
Can't we all just get along?
Not tonight.
Come on, man.
For the most part,
it's too damn hot to fight today.
That's true.
Very important question. As a geek that I am, I score every baseball game. I watch you guys
really?
On TV every game. Every single game.
He has a book. It's My
Best
Bible.
I wrote a book. I published my scorecards.
Really?
Yes, true story. Yes.
Did you bring one?
I did. Did you want a copy?
I think you should give it.
I'd like to look at it.
Keith's in his spa where he's like, how do I say no? I'm not giving me.
I'll look at it.
I'd like
to look at it.
I'll take a look at it.
It'd be a paperweight.
Yeah, I have it in my bag somewhere. But what I'm so fascinated about is I use one color. I use just a black pen. That's it.
Right.
You're a multicolored guy. What do you use those colors for? I'm very curious.
That's for each pitcher that comes in. If I wasn't calling the game, I wouldn't use colors. If I was at the ballpark watching the game, I have yellow, blue, green, orange,
that makes sense.
Red,
so purple. Now you can go back and reference.
So in an upper right-hand corner, I have the starting pitcher who's clear.
Okay.
And then the first pitcher's yellow. Then I go where he came in. I can go from, I'll know in the middle of the game, if he came in the third inning, the first pitcher's yellow. Second pitcher's blue, and so forth and so forth.
You may have changed my life.
I was going to say, are you jealous?
I mean, I've always been fascinated because I watch them, and I hear
but
you
it makes
talk.
Now it makes sense.
Yeah, I always knew it would make sense. Do you score? You don't score games when you're not broadcasting, right?
No.
Okay.
So
I'm the weird
a couple
one.
Of times, right. If it's September in a stretch run and I'm not working a game or a series, I will DVR it and. I go out to dinner. I'm not going to go. We got a night job. So I'll go to dinner. I'll watch it in the morning.
Wow. And you won't know the result? Like, you'll just tune it on? Or would you already know?
Oh, I'll know the result.
Oh, you will. Okay.
No, but nobody's like you.
No, that's what I do.
I know. Most people are not like you.
Because I try to have a life. I have a wife and kids. I go to dinner, and then I watch the game.
And he gets mad if you spoil it.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to spoil it. Yeah, I want to be surprised. But tonight will be a fun night.
Yes.
Two games, Mets-Yankees. Game will be on SNY. I get to see Keith. We appreciate you coming by.
My pleasure. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you, Keith.
Thank you very much, man.
Pleasure.